On today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, Graham and I are joined in studio with a special guest.
Special guest.
From our top partner here locally in Sarasota, our top partner nationally, Jackson Haskins. We're going to get into everything. Talk about business. We're going to learn a lot.
Heads in the Cloud with your host, David Portnowitz, Graham Potter, and John Roth.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz. And today we are joined by a special guest in studio.
Very special.
None other than our friend, former Star to Star employee. from one of our top partner, South Tech here in Sarasota. We're welcome to Business Development. What's your title, Jackson?
Business Development Consultant, I believe.
Jackson Haskins from South Tech. Thank you so much for coming on board with us today.
That's a very flashy title, man.
Our firm's not real big into titles. We treat everybody as people over there, so sure, we'll go with it.
Cool.
Sounds like you've been hired for a temporary job. But no, you've been there for how long now? 5, 6, 7, 8 years?
Coming up on my 7th anniversary, actually.
Cool. Wow.
7 years.
Man, time flies, doesn't it? Unbelievable. He only looks like he's just out of school.
Photoshop's a beautiful thing.
You should have seen the pictures I sent earlier on to our producer, Frederick. But good to see you, my friend. Anyway, it's been too long, so...
And you're our second guest we've had some South Tech. We've had Paul on before.
Right.
And but that was like, I think it was our first episode, maybe?
Yeah.
Was it our first episode or second episode? Yeah, one of our
you
first.
You asked Paul some scary questions about blockchain and stuff like that.
He didn't know what he was talking about. We knew what we were talking about, too, then. We had no idea.
Yeah. No, we didn't.
No, so tell us a little bit about what's going on at South Tech. What's new over there? How's the business? What's going on?
Business is good. We're actually celebrating our 25th anniversary this year.
Congrats.
Thank you. And as I said, I'm coming up on my 7th anniversary. And it's amazing just to see the change, not only in industry, but in our market that we serve for our local clients, which is predominantly on the Gulf Coast of Florida.
Yeah. Rainiest coast of Florida. It's never stop raining here in like 3 weeks.
Hopefully.
Months, I mean.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. But, you know, as far as our organization's gone, when I joined, we had, I believe, 18 employees. Mm-hmm. And we're like 50 or 60 now, and growing at a good clip.
So cool.
Yeah. So it's been very nice to see. And obviously the business that we're in on, obviously as a Star-to-Star partner, but the IT services as well, to see all of the organizations that we work with for our clients on how they're growing, to where a huge part of our business has been our existing customer base growing at a good steady clip.
Yeah.
So we're very beneficial to be able to take that piece of it in addition to bringing on net new clients as well too. So we've been very blessed in that regard. And yeah, we're up to almost 60 people now, and come into the office and be like, oh, even Paul, he and I do the same thing. Be like, who's that? We got somebody's new. That's awesome.
Yeah, we have the same challenge here.
We have a huge challenge here. With it. I always, you know, wander in the break room.
We only come to work one day a week.
David, you always have to get that point. And the only reason you do, listeners, is that he's after my office. He liked my office. The only office with windows. Yeah. In the building. And you want to get out of your little rabbit warren, I know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's really interesting when you see the growth in companies, and you know, seeing South Tech grow like we have, and we're, you know, in fact, I met Paul the other day and we caught up. He was telling me about the size of the company and whatever. It's awesome. But with people here, you know, and I come in, you go into the break room, you see a new face, and I always kind of hello and whatever, and they know immediately who you are. I mean, it's not difficult to recognize me anyway with a kind of a bit of a dodgy accent.
Humble brag.
Did you pick up on that?
Yeah,
but it's interesting, you know, just seeing people coming into the business. Just the growth. It's fascinating, it really is. So
how many customers are you guys up to? Are you guys sort of servicing now on a day-to-day basis?
Good question. So I don't know the exact number. I would say between both sides of the business, obviously on the UC side, which we exclusively provide your services out there, and then the IT side, I would say we probably have about 200 customers with some pollination and serve at least 500-600 offices. And last count, I think we have about 11,000-12,000 endpoints under managed services for the telephony side and computers and servers and everything else.
That's awesome.
So growing at a very good clip.
And has the growth been specifically on the UC side, or has it been on the IT, or on, more on the managed IT side, or both?
Both. Steady on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, it's been very good growth on both sides of the organization. Very steady as well, too. And then you kind of look at the demographic and, you know, what verticals are our clients in. Mm-hmm. And we track and measure everything in our firm. And it's really divided equally in several different areas. Healthcare is our largest vertical because yeah. where we live. It
yep.
goes back to our previous conversation, Graham.
Yeah.
So, but in addition to that, we see, you know, the general contractors and the specialty trades. They've been doing very well in addition and picking them up. And then we work on the, you know, the hospitality for the clubs and resorts, professional services for the accounting and legal firms. Mm-hmm. And then we work in the nonprofit space a lot as well, too, that kind of encompasses a little bit of all of that that's out there.
Yeah, it's a good mix. It almost matches our mix. I mean, it's funny. I mean, but we obviously are big in the healthcare space, especially in assisted living, things mm-hmm. like that. But professional services we see a lot of, too. We also see, because of partners like yourself, actually the largest our largest customers are IT service vendors, go figure, which is because a lot of our partners are running, you know, in-house systems, things like that. They're actually using our services. So I think it's almost 40 to 50% of our customers are IT service providers like yourself. So that's always funny to think about.
Indeed.
So what's the reach for the company then? Do you just still within Florida, or have you got accounts that have got offices that have stepped out, you know, they're out of the Florida.
Yeah. Area. So predominantly our client base is from Tampa down to the Naples area. We have clients that have a lot of multi-location, mm-hmm. but they're headquartered in this side of the, okay. Of the state, but they have offices all over yeah. the state or into other states across the country out there. So we support them, both sides of the organization, cool. but predominantly, you know, there's a lot of good organizations yep. and business right here in our backyard, and we don't have to drive very far, and we stay relevant with them on changing technologies. We're not very good at a client vendor relationship, and we're very upfront on that. It needs to be more of a partnership to where it's not a one-time project and then see you later.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing adjustment that we always have to make to help. We want to see their business grow because it makes our business grow.
Sure.
And it's beneficial for both of us.
That's interesting. You know, it's interesting the way you phrase that, because you would think if you're saying to a customer, we're not very good at the IT vendor relationship, they're going to be like, well, that doesn't sound
what
promising.
Does that mean? Yeah.
But then I think when you sort of turn it on its head and look at it more as a partnership, and how can we help your business? How can we help productivity? How can we grow your bottom line? How can we increase you know, the amount of employees that are using the services? You know, if you talk about it in terms of like that, I think the customer is much more apt to be interested in that conversation as opposed to, you know, how do we fix the problem you have right now, and then, you know, we'll see what that results in 6 months, and maybe we'll talk down the road. So I think if you can help them understand all the services you guys do and help them, how, you know, what are the real business outcomes from that? I think that's always going to put you in a position to win, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, it goes back into the vendors and providers that we work with as well, too. And on my drive over today, I was like, how many companies do we work with that
yeah.
we provide their products and services? And doing some quick math, it has to be around 15 different companies, which is a lot of information to stay up on and be able to provide and support those services. But we have the best relationship with you guys out there. And because you look at it more as a partnership versus
yeah.
a vendor customer relationship, to where we have more open lines of communication, and making sure that you're providing us all the information on what we should be aware of
yep.
to provide the best services out there for our clients. So, you know, we were your number one partner for 2018.
Yeah.
Cool. And we're very blessed. But a lot of that has to do with not only a good product and service, and I have an amazing team back at the office that makes my job real easy, but it's the partnership
yeah.
between our two organizations that's made it successful.
Yeah. And we've definitely relied on you guys for feedback on what's working, what's not working. Is this something that you'd like to see? Is this how we should do? I mean, listen, we, you know, we appreciate that open line of communication just as much as you guys do. Be able to call you or Paul or Yolanda or someone like that up and have, hey, is this something that we should be doing or not? I feel like that's, listen, you guys are sort of part of our the voice of the partner community for us, and we really appreciate
that. An extension of the business, really. Yeah. It's more, you know, when you look at that, it's like one big family. So you personally, Jackson, in your role, are you still focused just primarily on the UCAS side, or are you involved in some of the other IT? Do you kind of have a blended team? How does that work?
Sure. So in my role with the organization, I handle most, if not all, new client acquisition. Right. So for both sides of the house, keeps me very busy. So any client that wants to come on board for IT services or the UC side of it, typically it starts through me, and I work through the process. And then ongoing, we have dedicated assigned resources for these firms.
So you draw in the people that you need to.
We do. We do indeed. So we turn it over, and we have, like I said, a fantastic team back at the office that makes my job really easy to be able to provide an amazing experience. You know, if you want to put it out there, sales guy, right?
Yeah.
But after I sort of move out of the picture on there, yeah, they deliver everything that I promised. And we're very blessed in that regard.
Go ahead.
So why don't you tell our listeners a bit about Jackson Haskins, a bit about your background, really. You know, rumor has it you spent a short period of time with us here, so you know the infrastructure pretty well, and you know some of the faces pretty well. So
yeah, well, you know, walking through the building today, it's I know the folks here in this room today and some others, and I'm like, goodness, this place is
same,
just grown. So yeah, I you know, after high school, I went to school for IT, computer networking, and had an opportunity to come down here, and this was up in Portland, Oregon, lived in Washington. I came down for a visit and never went home. Had the opportunity to say, hey, look at this little science experiment that we have, and we're going back probably 15 years ago now that I've been down here. And hey, look at, got this idea, and I'm like, well, I'm not going home. This sounds pretty good. And after a few years, you know, started out and started bringing on partners and putting in a channel out there. And obviously, we worked very closely together, and it was awesome being part of a small company and having input and creating something different,
yeah,
that people need out there. And it was amazing to go through that. And then part of my role, obviously, when I was with you all, was training partners like mm-hmm. South Tech on becoming partners and working very closely with them to have that success.
Were they a partner before you?
No, they only did IT services.
Okay.
So
I don't know that story, pretty, how that sort of come
pretty,
came to
pretty
be
your time. But Jackson was very heavily involved when we had a crew that used to pretty much travel relentlessly every month. We'd be doing training sessions. Yeah. We'd either be here, we'd be on the road somewhere, we'd be West Coast and doing things. So Jackson was very much a part of that when we started all that off.
Gotcha.
Years and years ago. But, you know, when you left and you went to a different local partner, then you ultimately ended up with South Tech and introduced, and I remember you coming into a training class along with one of the guys from the company whose name escapes me at this point in time, senior moment.
Chad.
You know, that goes back. I mean, I can't even remember the number of years now, but I mean, you think about this. You were with us in those very early years when we started the business. I think you were here. Did you join us for any time when we were in the previous facility on Main Street? I can't remember.
I did, yeah. So over there on Main Street,
and then we moved out.
I'm catching up to you, Graham, because it's somewhat escaping.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, out of that small little office, and then moving
here. How many people were in that office?
When it all really started, there were like 10, 12 people in there, and then I mean, the build area that we used to build systems in, were originally we were building systems on my desk. We had a like a plastic Sam's Club table, and we were building Starboxes on my desk, and you know, 30 minutes later it's like one and then I mean it was very humble beginnings.
That's cool, though.
It was an interesting time to to see how that came together. And then we moved into this building, and at a time when we couldn't get our certificate of occupancy, so Star kind of moved over a weekend, but we weren't actually allowed to occupy the building. We were allowed to move equipment in here, but we had to wait for the certificate. So we functioned as a completely remote entity, which was testament to the technology at the time. Everybody just kind of disappeared to the four winds and carried on running the business.
Cool. But
we thought we had masses of room here, and we just grown. And Jackson was a part of that very early, you know, stages when we.
Well, there's there's some other offices here that I think you'd really like to try out.
Really?
Yeah, there's some other places here that I think would be good for you. Since you've only had that experience to be up there, I think you should try some other spots.
Yeah, I could. Jackson could probably tell you I've had offices all around the place.
You should try to maybe go back to some of those other places.
That whole remote workforce thing sounds a little bit better for him, doesn't it?
Just like titles. I'm not a title person.
I'm also not
an office person either. So, but yeah,
we're aware.
It's those were interesting times, weren't they? When we had to kind of start things off, and we really didn't have anything to do. That was a
So I want to go back. You mentioned that you're working with like 15 vendors now.
Yeah.
And Star to Star being one of them. I know you guys are a Microsoft shop, right?
We are. Yeah, we're a gold partner with them.
Yeah. Besides Microsoft and Star to Star, what are some of the other vendors you work with, and what are those services that you're providing to your customers?
Yeah. So, as technology's really evolved to where our focus is very heavily on network and data security.
Okay.
Big part of our business anymore. Equipment's getting a little bit more reliable. People aren't creating viruses just to ruin someone's day. It is these malicious attacks that are being presented to steal personal information or just ransom out for, hold people hostage in order to get a payday on some of that blockchain and Bitcoin and whatever else that you have out there. So we've been primarily focused on that. So as technology, you got to constantly keep evolving to that and adding, items to your tool belt to be able to service our clients. So we work real heavy, and we're very vendor dedicated.
Yeah.
To where it's not okay, I have five different UC offerings. Pick one. We custom tailor each one and standardize out there to make sure everybody's running efficiently and they're supported very well by people that. Hold certifications for these individual products.
Sure.
So we work real heavily with Dell, SonicWall, Cisco, and the Meraki products. As I said, Microsoft on their gold offering. We do a lot with them on the Office 365 piece.
You've seen a lot of Teams, a lot of questions around Teams.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Teams is really becoming more relevant as Microsoft's evolved it into this one-stop shop for all their different applications.
Sure.
They're piecemeal stuff, so you're getting your calendars in there. You can get some of the Skype for Business for your meetings, your instant messaging, and I foresee them starting to wrap possible like an Outlook version in there at some point.
Well, I mean, they want it to be Slack, essentially.
Yep, exactly.
And they've retired Skype. I mean, it's sort of like gone away. I mean, well, they're in the process of.
Yeah, I think they just announced they have two more years and then it's end of life on there.
And Teams will become sort of their de facto UC solution with the whole Workstream collaboration side. So, I mean, like, look, Microsoft, obviously, if they want to run the space, they can. Yeah. They have enough cash.
Resource there to do that.
But from your customers, are they coming to you with questions around security, with questions around, like, what are you hearing from customers? What are they looking for?
Yeah, well, they don't always know what they're looking for. A lot of them being, the business that we work in. And as I said, that healthcare is a huge vertical. A lot of the services that we have to wrap in there is based on compliance. And, whether it's HIPAA or they have some financial compliance that goes in there. So making sure that we're providing the tools and resources to ensure that they can stay within compliance based on the tools and stuff we can offer. At the end of the day, it's corporate policy and how and procedures and how things are written down and what they adhere to. But they don't always know what they don't know, and so we're the infrastructure side. We're the non-pretty side of technology. We don't do web design.
Yeah,
we have some in-house resources and also outsource some resources. in order to do our branding and marketing and all that kind of stuff, and actually lean on
you. We do some of that for you guys too.
Yeah.
I mean, I work with Henry and those folks on that side. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as what they're coming into, it's been real big on like the SIEM solutions that are coming out here that are really event driven monitoring. So you get down on the compliance, you're like, yeah, we provide the firewalls and the antivirus and some other software applications, and we're reviewing your security logs monthly and all that. And now it's getting down to the point to be like, hey, I want to know if somebody's plugging in a thumb drive on our network, I need to get an alert off
really?
Of that. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's the huge. IT guy on site or the gal on site is wanting to know when those things are happening on their network.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are there pieces of the network that you guys aren't managing now that you'd like to get into?
It's a good question.
Like, do you have demand? Is there demand for a virtual desktop or something like that?
It's definitely getting more and more into that, to where they want a remote workforce. They want to have less upfront cost for infrastructure, less infrastructure to support within their office, and getting into more of a full backup and disaster recovery options, which virtual desktop can provide out there, and less dependency on one or two or more physical locations, and going that route.
It's interesting. We're hearing a lot of partners talk about the VDI is becoming more and more important to customer. I mean, security, being able to run it on a thin client, so you less, like you said, like you mentioned, less infrastructure, not being worried about, you know, who's doing what, well, who's downloading what into my network, be able to control that whole experience, and then the whole remote workforce piece of it is actually really nice as well. So, you know, you've got to weigh those options, because a lot of companies have invested probably hundreds of thousands of dollars into computers, into physical hardware. And it's like, I kind of have to make a strategic decision to dump all that and invest it into more of the cloud. And that's not easy for a lot of these companies.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's definitely not. And you look at it from the aspect of the other reason is also on the security side.
Yeah.
You know, we still get asked from time to time, hey, we want to refresh and build a new Microsoft Exchange email server in our office. And we're like, we make more money if you do that. It's not the right fit.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I'm nervous about putting all of our email, which is the main line of communications, along with the telephony side for organizations. I'm scared to get it out of my office and have it somewhere, and I don't have physical control. And, you know, the conversation goes back to, hey, we can provide all the security tools, everything in there. Microsoft is pretty secure up there, you know, and they see breaches for Target and, you know, Equifax and all this, and be like, look, the safest place for your email to be is up in the Office 365 platform out there.
That's a tough sell for a lot of things, though. It's one of the reasons why I think companies have taken time to migrate some of that technology out there. Contact center space is another one where people have been very reluctant to move a lot of that kind of, you know, technology up into the cloud and get away from something that is probably a revenue generating part of their business, and now putting it in the hands of some third party that, and you know, we had a gentleman on here a couple of weeks ago from the kind of security side of things, and we had an interesting discussion on that. I mean, that's a growth area if ever there was one. I mean, it's tough for especially some of the smaller companies that have been so used to kind of having something
hanging
there.
On to something.
It takes, I mean, it's like, you know, like a lot of people, you know, people don't buy alarm systems until they get burgled, you know. And so,
burgled?
You know, yeah, burgled. you know, so you understand the English language, do you? Oh, by the way, listeners, today, David, we ought to have a section actually on socks, you know, what socks we're wearing, because today we're wearing.
You don't want to repeat what these socks
are. We're wearing green, black, they're like Czech. Checks. Oh, dear me.
Yeah, but they have a saying on them, which you probably shouldn't repeat.
Am I not allowed? Oh, yeah, I'm actually not allowed to say that.
Yeah, they have a. We have an explicit tag. I don't know.
Do we?
We could.
Okay.
We'll leave it. We'll leave it as for your imagination.
But we'll for future. We'll have a section on socks. I think
we'll have to do some comparisons. Yeah. We run a mean sock game over at the office. I actually have something for you here in the next few weeks.
What about some Star to Star socks?
Well, we might have some.
We have some. We can get you some. We have some in house.
Do you?
We have Star to Star socks.
I might have something for you very soon here too.
See if we can get some. See if we can get maybe Francisco or Trish can grab some socks for Jackson.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen onesies.
Onesies, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Check that out.
It's funny that
we're digressing.
Even put that on the dog. He wasn't that impressed with it and whatever.
I don't think the dog would be happy about
that.
Yeah,
we're digressing here, but yeah, the whole security thing is a really interesting topic, especially nowadays. So,
but you guys are. A lot of partners don't want to have that conversation because they're scared, right? Because they're afraid of, maybe I shouldn't have the whole security conversation because I don't have the answers. But you guys don't seem to shy away from that conversation at all. You want to have that, right?
No, and absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things to where, yeah, some companies don't want to have those discussions out there and put their hands over their eyes and fingers in their ears and be like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we see it every day. And typically when we see it is organizations that aren't current clients coming to us and they've had an incident. And the rate that the statistics don't lie to where smaller companies and, you know, they could have 20 to 200 employees. If they have some sort of compromise and on the healthcare, especially the cost per record and everything goes into that, that they can't afford to do business afterwards, that the majority of those businesses that have had an incident that's been reported and they've come down with some serious fines and liabilities.
Yeah.
Them staying open after a year, I believe it's like 80% of them have to close business altogether. Yeah.
That's crazy. I know that there was a city of Baltimore has undergone this over the last like 6 months. I don't know if you followed that story at all, but they had basically their entire system shut down and held at ransom for the whole city. And like people weren't getting, you know, no electric bills, no water bills, no trash pickup, all that stuff was because they didn't have any, you know, they had no record. They had no access to the record, things like that. And I can't remember if they ended up having to pay the ransom just to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just now, and then people are getting like water bills from like 6 months ago back, you know, backlog with like, and, but yeah, I mean, you look at that, I mean, that could bankrupt that entire city.
Sure.
Know? And because they didn't have the right protocol in place. And I think it was because one person downloaded something or, you know, and it was,
oops,
just like that. And you know, and so going back to that virtual desktop, when you don't allow someone to put anything outside on your network, I mean, those are real conversations.
You got to control things out there. And you know, part of our IT managed services, to where similar to your offering, we standardize and we have one offering out there, and we feel it's a great fit for all of our customers that are out there. And we also provide, and included with that, security awareness training, to where we do proactive phishing attacks and emails through a service we provide.
Really?
Against all of our customers.
So you actually send an email like a to help get them trained?
Oh, quick, here. Hey, Graham, it's an email from me. I'm jumping on a plane, but I need you to transfer X amount of dollars. Or, hey, you need to reset your Amazon password, and it looks like Amazon. And we see, as I was alluding to, we can provide hardware and services and softwares. At the end of the day, though, people still have to do their job. And the one thing we can't control is the people. But what we can do is educate them on what is valid, what is not, and making sure that the user-generated compromises that come up are mitigated as best as possible. And we've seen a serious reduction. We've been doing this for about 2 years now. And we've seen a serious reduction in and ransomware and for our clients and everything else.
That's super cool.
You educate the people.
Yeah.
And we call it the human firewall factor that goes out there.
Well, there's going to be people and technology, and those are going to be screw-ups.
Yeah, that's the one thing we can't control, the people.
Yeah. Put those two things together, and there's going to be hiccups.
Yeah.
It's impossible not to. Les was just showing me that with the city of Baltimore, I think the hackers originally demanded like $75,000. That's what they really wanted. The city has spent over $18 million to try to fix the problem.
Sounds about right.
You should just pay the, I mean, not that, you know what I'm saying, to pay the ransom, but like, you know, but not having the right security in place to start with was the issue.
Yep. And it's always got to be a multi-layered approach on there.
Crazy world we live in. Have you followed any of the recent kind of information on StirShaken, on the whole?
You said a note about that yesterday. What was that about?
Yeah, there's some really, really interesting. I sat in on a kind of conference thing the other day and listened to it. But the whole thing around trying to figure out a reasonably good way, not necessarily bulletproof, but a pretty secure way of stopping a lot of this spoofing with calls and spam calls and robocalls that have kind of plagued us for years and years and years.
You know, and stir and shake, and those are acronyms, right? What are they?
Yeah, they are. And I couldn't even begin to remember exactly what it stands for. So it's, I know the stir one.
I think he was drinking a martini.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
The stir one sounds, is revisited, but I can't remember it. Well, I don't think it's that easy to kind of spin off the top of the top of your, top of your head. But the basic technology, the ability for the kind of carrier, the initiating carrier, to kind of pass a token, and that token then becomes, you know, passed through to the end of the call, and then there's a verification check to ensure that the person making the call is who they say they are before the call gets by. And it'll actually work for some older technologies out there as well. So TDM systems will still give you the ability to do that. But it's fascinating.
So they're trying to sort of curb the amount of
Phone call needs a CAPTCHA. How many bridges are in this?
Is this you, Jackson?
People like AT&T have worked really closely with T-Mobile and what have you, and put some of this together. So our recording engineer is going to give us
STIR shake, and stands for signature based handling of asserted information using tokens.
Yeah, but that's not
Secure Telephone Identity Revisited is STIR.
And what's shaken? That's the stretch.
Shaken is signature based handling, so SH, of asserted information using tokens.
S E, open parenthesis, EN, close parenthesis.
Yeah, tokens with the EN.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
quite a stretch here for an acronym.
Basically, the ability to stop all this kind of spoofing and what. But yeah, it's really interesting when you sort of dig into it and what they're going to try and do. Which means
it's a problem.
Well, we're going to have to, you know, like every other
carrier.
It's
provider,
a huge issue.
Yeah. Comply with this.
As I was saying on the security awareness training for the email portion of it, really, that's user driven.
Yeah.
I can tell you down here, and I have AT&T for my cell phone service, and I receive calls every day from the same area code and the same NXX first three numbers to look like it's somebody on my network and trying to get you. And of course, 99% of the time they're overseas and trying to extort money out of you.
Or this is the IRS. You've been
you're going to be locked up. And
Or it's Microsoft. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I get so much. It's so.
Have you had the Microsoft? Your computer's been contaminated.
Yes, exactly.
We need access to it. You know, we get bored at times.
It's the same people that are on LinkedIn, I've decided.
I think
LinkedIn is just a cesspool of people trying to sell you something. I could go off on that. It's just every day you get like three requests from people, and it was like, what? No, I don't know any of these people. And if I friend one of them, I'm going to get an email in 2 seconds. It's going
to
be like,
well, and half the time they're actually trying to sell you something, they're trying to sell you products and services that is your business.
Exactly.
Be like,
I think a lot of them too just want to connect with you to get access to people in your network. That's all they're trying to do. They're just trying to get more people that you know. That's what I think anyway. But it's a problem. We should definitely call LinkedIn later.
See what
they say. Yeah. That's also Microsoft. We can call them at the same time.
I'm just seeing these recent things on there on LinkedIn. You get all these people who say, oh, they recommend David Portnowitz for...
no one recommends
about a skill that you don't have. You know, they probably recommended David Portnowitz for cooking or something like that.
You should recommend me. That's one thing you should recommend me for. Especially pasta.
Yeah. Pasta.
No, pasta.
Yeah, what does it mean when someone you don't know recommends for a skill you don't have?
You don't have, Does that make you feel good? Whoa.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, Jackson, we appreciate you coming out and spending some time with us today. We got to finish the conversation. We always like to ask a couple of questions at the end.
Yeah, a couple of questions.
A couple of questions, yeah. Well, because you want to ask your question.
I'm humbled. I'm sitting here in the corner. Humbled. Mr. Flashy Socks.
Jackson, tell us, what is your favorite sandwich?
Ooh, favorite sandwich. Cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak. That's two in a row on the cheesesteak.
That's two in a row. But,
oh,
you know,
boy.
Do you want to dig into that more?
Well, there's
a favorite.
Being that he lives in Sarasota, we can have more of an in-depth, you know, talk on the cheesesteak.
Okay, so where do you get your cheesesteak?
Well, I hope you're going to say South Philly or Charlie. You guys South Philly or
we're,
you guys have
we're
Charlie's
close by
right
Charlie's, but the South Philly is fantastic as well, too.
There's a new one downtown.
There is. I have not been over there yet. I've only been when they had the food truck out there.
So here's a question to take you back many, many years ago to when we were training in Long Beach. You probably know where I'm going with this.
I know exactly where you're going, unfortunately.
And we decided to go out for a dinner in the evening. This was nothing to do with the partners. I think this was a dinner before or after when we kind of wrapped up. And so I decided, as any of you that know me, know that I'm an Indian food buff. And so I reluctantly, Jackson came along, dragging him along screaming and what have you. And I fed him copious amounts of Indian food and what have you. And you've been a fan ever since, I think.
I've been a huge fan. And I was very apprehensive based on his description, just like anything else.
Oh, you were crying. I mean, it was like, you know, if.
So what he warned me. They're like, well, they have cold beer just like anywhere else. Yes. I'm like, all right, Graham, we're in.
So yeah, that was your introduction to Indian food. So
I do indeed. Yeah.
So back to the cheesesteak part of the talk. Thanks for ruining that.
Wah.
Charlie, South Philly, any place else that we don't know about?
No, those are the great spots. Yeah. I mean, if you got to hit up a local chain, if it's something quick, but that's about.
Yeah, I think those are the two. I've been to Charlie's, I think, twice with Paul. He's taking me there.
Yeah.
It's a good spot. Mm-hmm. It's right. I don't know. You guys are literally across the street from there.
We are. Sometimes it's quicker to drive, though. If you got to get through,
I would weigh like 50 pounds more if I worked across the street from Charlie's. And then, Graham, we can ask. I know you have a question, too.
Well, I'm not going to ask it.
No.
You're in charge of questions.
All right, fine. Jackson, do you have any pets?
I do. Yeah. I have a
you got more than one.
Well, like the child count too.
Was that
absolutely.
We have a little, his name's Murray. He's awesome. Little Chihuahua kind of mix. I think he has a little Jack Russell in it.
Ankle biter.
Yeah, but he doesn't bite many ankles. So really? Murray? He's pretty chill. Yeah.
How much what does he weigh?
I don't know. Now you're really putting me on the spot. Maybe, I think about a 12 pounds, Chihuahua? 6 foot. Yeah. I think he's 12 pounds. Little guy. I carry him in a suitcase.
Awesome.
Do you have a stroller for him?
No.
Many people do. Yeah, you don't want to be around the farmer's market with their dog stroller.
You said just, that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just a purse.
Was that with a shoulder strap or not? Yeah.
Better have a shoulder strap, yeah. Well, cool. Jackson, thank you so much for coming on
appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Been a long time since we've seen you. Been too long. Let's not make it as long as that.
Let's go have a cheesesteak.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, good. I think it's raining, though. Bye. I had to guess.
Oh, really? Oh, it is. Really? It's coming.
Raining? It's always raining. All right.
Take care.
Well, thank you. Heads in the cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
Thank you very much.
I'm Graham Portnowitz.
And we'll see you next time.